Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about the fear of the Lord. And I tell you, this is powerful. Many people would think that the fear of the Lord is something I wouldn't teach on because I talk about the goodness of God and the grace of God and that God placed all of His wrath and punishment upon Jesus. And so I'm not terrified or fearing the judgment of the Lord. But I'm talking about the fear of the Lord not in a negative way where it's talking about fear of punishment, but I'm talking about it in the sense of respect and honor. Here's some of the things that I talked about this week. Let me go back and just recap a little bit. It says in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, that Jesus feared the Lord. He wasn't afraid of punishment. He wasn't afraid His Father was going to hit Him, but He loved, honored, respected, esteemed. He was in awe of His Father. It says that the New Testament disciples feared the Lord. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, that they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And there's many times that it talks about the New Testament church fearing the Lord. Paul even advocated perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. I used a number of different scriptures, Psalms 115 and also Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. And I talked about that fearing the Lord is trusting God. A person who says that they trust God is a person who is fearing the Lord. So fear and trust are used interchangeably. And we spent quite a bit of time in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, talking about trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And then it says, don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. So it's using all of those terminologies interchangeably. I talked about Exodus chapter 20, verse 6 with Luke chapter 1, verse 50 and used the fact that loving the Lord is the fear of the Lord. If you truly love the Lord, you fear Him, you reverence Him, honor Him, respect Him. We talked about paying tithes as part of fearing the Lord, and I used quite a bit of scripture on that fearing the Lord is honoring our parents and the elders and people that are in positions of authority. And I used a number of scriptures on that, Romans chapter 13, and we'll be talking about that more. Did you know that fearing the Lord is not taking advantage of other people? Here's some verses on that in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14. It says, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Now think about what that's saying. Don't curse the deaf. If a person is deaf, they couldn't hear you cursing them. Or put a stumbling block before the blind. If they're blind, they couldn't see that you'd put some obstacle in their path. In other words, this is talking about don't take advantage of people who, for whatever reason, are disabled or disadvantaged. Did you know that a fear of the Lord would solve all of our social ills? You wouldn't take advantage of other people. And I could just amplify on this. I haven't got time. I'm not going to take the time to do it. But there are many, many scriptures that talk about different weights in the bag are an abomination to the Lord. And there's many times that the scriptures talked about that. What that's talking about is in the Old Testament days, the way people traded for goods was that you had a weight. You had scales here. And say that you wanted so much gold. Well, then you had to have so much weight. So they would put a weight over here and you would have to put enough gold on this other side to balance it. And then they would take that as your payment for this. And yet it was a typical practice that people would put a slightly larger weight over here and say that this is 1 ounce, but in reality it was 2 ounces. And so you'd wind up paying twice as much for this as it was supposed to be paid for. Did you know, and I know that many people are going to dislike this, but I believe this based on Scripture and based on my study of Scripture, that the whole barter system that we see in many countries, to where there isn't a fixed price, or there may be a price, but you're an absolute fool if you pay that price. They expect you to barter, and you want to get them down, and you want to argue over this cost. And so they'll say it's worth $10, and you'll say, I'll give you $5, and they'll come back to $9, and you say, I'll give you $6, and you wind up settling for $7.50, and that's the way that the thing works. Did you know that that's against these scriptures about taking advantage of other people, having unjust weights? In other words, you're going to get as much money from this person as you possibly can. And if they aren't good at bartering, you're going to take advantage of them. That's an ungodly system. That is not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord would have a person to affix a price on it that is a good price. I mean, it's going to help the person who's selling to cover their overhead, to make a profit, to live off of it, but you aren't going to gouge that person. You aren't going to take advantage of them. And yet, there's people that do this all of the time. This is what the Scripture is saying, that is the fear of the Lord. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear God. Don't take advantage of people. If we did that, these social ills would stop. We wouldn't overcharge people. We would treat people with fairness. We could go back to the days where you just shook on it and said, man, this is what I'm going to do, and here's my promise, and you shook on it. But you know what? Today, man, you'd be an absolute fool to operate that way, because there are very few people with the fear of the Lord. They would take advantage of you. They would. It's like putting a stumbling block before a blind person, cursing a person. They'll say something in front of you, but then when they go their way, they'll brag about how that they gouged you, how they got more from you than what was necessary. Here's another scripture in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 17. You shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. And so, fearing God is not oppressing people. You know what? If you have a person that's in your employment, you're supposed to treat them with honor and respect, and that's fearing the Lord. If you say that you are fearing God, but you mistreat other people and oppress people, you aren't fearing God. Again, I'm not talking about a terror, a dread where God's going to do something terrible to you, but I'm talking about that you just honor God and you honor people that He loves. God is in the people business. And if you treat people mean and cruel and badly, you do not fear the Lord. You know, I had an instance one time, this has been many, many years ago, and I had a secretary that was working for me, and we were having a meeting where people had to call in and make reservations and get hotel accommodations and stuff. And one of my friends, a man that I knew, I mean, he was considered a friend of mine, he called in and he was talking to our secretary, and she didn't do something to his standards. I don't even remember what it was, but he didn't like something that she had done, and he just reamed her out. I mean, he yelled at her and told her how terrible she was and she was inefficient and just blasted this woman. And I happened to be walking by and seeing her on the phone, and this woman was sitting there crying. And so when she hung up, I asked her what happened, and she told me about this guy and what had happened. And I really got upset, and I called this guy on the phone. I called him right back. And I said, what are you doing? I said, my secretary is sitting here crying because of the things that you said to her. And he says, I didn't do anything wrong. I said, you did too. You insulted her. You said this and this and this. And he says, well, I don't mean anything by it. He says, it's just business. He says, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and that's the way you get things done. You let people know, and you just demand this and this and this. And I said, you can call it whatever you want to, but I said, you are just absolutely rude. You didn't respect her. You treated her poorly, and I demanded an apology and made this guy apologize to her. And see, there's some people that they just think, well, this is business. I've actually had people in my church before, a church that I was pastoring, they went down and bought some paint. And the paint wasn't good, or I don't know, it didn't live up to the promise or whatever. And they came back and lashed out on the people at the store. and just said all kinds of things and demanded the manager. And I mean, they were mean. And I happened to be standing there watching this behavior. And after it was over, I challenged them on it. And I said, look, I'm not saying that you don't get your money back or that you don't get some reparations for what you did. I'm not saying that. But the way you did it, the attitude, the lack of respect, the total disdain for other people and acting like you are superior to anybody and everybody else is wrong. And I challenged them on it. And they said, but that's just business. That's the way you get things done. And see, there's some people that just kind of departmentalize their life. And this is their Christian segment over here. But in business, boy, you stab people in the back. You take advantage of people. You oppress people. In business, you just treat people badly. You can say it whatever you want to, but you know what? That is not the fear of the Lord. He said right here, Leviticus 25:17, you shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God. If you are oppressing people, and I don't care what you think the reason for it is or the justification for it is, if you're oppressing people, you are not fearing the Lord. You aren't honoring the Lord. You know, we wear these little wristbands. What would Jesus do? WWJD. Do you think Jesus would go in and treat the clerk, treat the cashier, treat the person at the airplane reservation desk the way that you do? You know, I can sympathize with you. I travel a lot. And I've been on flights where they intentionally overbook them. Matter of fact, Jamie and I used to have this. It doesn't happen anymore, but used to, our trips to England were oversold and they canceled the flight nearly every single time. And it happened so many times that we got to where we would book a day in advance and expect to be bumped. It happened so many times. And, I mean, they did it all of the time. It was not uncommon. It wasn't an exception. And it wasn't because of a mechanical problem. They just literally overbooked flights and did all kinds of things. And I remember one time we were at Washington Dulles and they overbooked a flight. And we had to stand in line for 2 hours after our flight was canceled. And it wasn't because of any mechanical problems. I forget exactly what it was. But anyway, there was hundreds of people standing in line. We stood in line for 2 hours. People had been screaming and yelling. They literally had to have security there because people were so upset. This had happened to them more than once. And when I got up to the counter, I looked at the lady and I said, you know what? I hate this. I don't like it. But I said, it's not your fault. I'm not mad at you. And I just want you to know that I appreciate you being patient with all of these people. And then I started asking if we could get rebooked and going through the things. But I just went out of my way to show this lady a little bit of respect and say, it's not your fault. That woman nearly reached across the counter and hugged me. I mean, she was so thankful that somebody finally wasn't mad at her. And she says, it's not my decision. She says, if the people up there in the office had to deal with the customers at this desk, they wouldn't treat people the way that they do. She says, I hate it. And she says, I don't like it, but you know what? What do you do? And so she took care of us and wound up giving us a suite at a hotel, put us up for the night, gave us all of these vouchers, and bumped us up to first class the next day just in gratitude for the fact that I wasn't mean towards her. You know what? I believe that that's just the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord would have you treat other people correctly. And yet there's some people, there's people watching this program right now that you are a Christian. You know the Lord, but for whatever reason, you don't have a fear of the Lord. You oppress people. If somebody doesn't do something, boy, you let them know about it. And again, I'm not saying that you don't tell a person if you need something taken care of, but the way you do it in, you lose your temper. You will get angry. You'll make a scene. You'll make a spectacle of yourself. I know you know who I'm talking to. There are many of you right now, and you know what that is? That is a lack of honor and respect for God and the people that He's created. If you had a fear of God, you still take care of things. If somebody hasn't done something right, there's a way to redress that without you getting angry. You know, look at this passage over in Acts chapter 4. This is, for those of you that are familiar with this, in Acts chapter 3, disciples had been taken prisoner by the chief priests because they were preaching that Jesus was resurrected from the dead and saying that the chief priest had killed him, but he was the Messiah and he rose from the dead and he was God, and they were preaching him as God. And I guarantee you the scribes and the Pharisees were very upset. So they arrested them. This is right after the day of Pentecost. And they put them in jail. And then in the fourth chapter, I won't read all of this, but they brought forth Peter and James and John and the other apostles, and they told them to quit preaching or teaching in the name of the Lord. And they beat them, and yet they let them go because really there was nothing they could do. They had just seen the man in the third chapter of the book of Acts healed, who was lame and laid at the gate of the temple, and everybody knew him. He was 38 years he had been begging for money at the gate of the temple. He was a fixture in Jerusalem. And Peter and James and John, they just saw this man healed. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. And as a result, 5,000 people got born again. That's what occasioned all of this. And they couldn't really do anything because everybody knew that this man had been healed. And so they threatened them, told them not to preach, and they beat them, but they let them go. And how did they respond? And it says here in Acts chapter 4, and in verse 21, it says, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was done. And being let go," what did they do? "They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God." And you know what they did? They began to pray for these elders, for the people who had persecuted them, and then they said, "Lord, give us boldness so that we can continue to preach the gospel." And they just continued right on. It says in another instance when they were brought in before the scribes and Pharisees that they were beaten and they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name's sake. Why am I bringing these scriptures up? To say that the fear of the Lord, they didn't rebel at the authority. They didn't rebel at the chief priest. They didn't do what they told them to do because it was against what God was telling them to do. I'm not telling you to disobey God. I'm not telling you to let people take advantage of you. But the way you respond is important. They didn't obey the ungodly commands, but they also did not form a revolt. They didn't speak against the leaders. Instead, they prayed for them. And they continued to operate in a godly fashion. And if the leaders were going to take them and arrest them and beat them, well, then so be it. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name's sake, but they didn't form a revolt. Today we have an attitude, this independent, I'm the center of the universe attitude, which is a lack of fear of God. It's an exaltation of yourself, honoring yourself above God. We have an attitude that if somebody does me wrong, I'm going to do them wrong. I'm going to get even with them. I will punish them equal to the way that I feel like they have punished or inconvenienced me. And we just lash out. That is not a fear of God. Man, these are some important things that I'm saying. And if people understood this, it would change our worlds, our societies. They would be different if people just had a fear of God and treated people the way that they wanted to be treated. Here's another thing. The fear of God is for our own good. Look at this. In Deuteronomy 6:24, it says, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day." The fear of the Lord is for our good, so that we could be preserved alive. You know, if you truly honored other people, if you did unto them the way that you would want them to do unto you, as Jesus said, did you know that we wouldn't have to lock our doors? You wouldn't have to have padlocks on things. You wouldn't have all of the problems if people treated each other with respect. And that all comes from the fear of the Lord. In our societies today, they're trying to divorce morality from faith in God or fear of the Lord, and yet it can't be done. I guarantee you, you can't have true morality and social justice apart from faith in the Lord. John Adams, who was the first vice president of the United States and the second president of the United States, he also helped with the Constitution and he was just very involved in American politics in the very beginning of this nation. John Adams said that democracy is wholly unsuited to anybody but a moral people. If America ever ceases to be moral, democracy will destroy her. And man, that is powerful. Morality is what holds things together. And he was talking about a Christian morality. Today, we're trying to get people to respect the rights of other peoples without an acknowledgement of God, without a fear of God, without any faith in God. And it's not going to happen. You could go on and on. You could quote Thomas Jefferson, who's the one who wrote the Constitution, and I think he was the third president of the United States. And he made similar comments about morality. Thomas Jefferson was also the president of one of the Bible societies, and he literally placed a Bible in the hands of every child in the United States because they needed to understand the moral code and the ethics that came from the Bible. And on and on and on you could go. I tell you what, the fear of the Lord is what holds people together in society and keeps all of the mayhem and stuff from happening. When you lose the fear of the Lord, you lose the bond, the cohesion that holds people together in peace and in integrity. The fear of the Lord is a positive thing, and it's for our good. And yet many people today are rejecting it. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children." This was God speaking. He spoke through Moses. And God said, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." You know, I believe that God is saying the same thing, and I believe that God is speaking through me on these television programs to people all over the world. And He's saying, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them. Oh, that you would receive this about the fear of the Lord, that you would truly honor and respect Him, that you would treat other people with dignity, that you would do unto them as you would have them to do unto you. Oh, that you, if somebody does something wrong, that you can still go and get your product exchanged. You can still deal with the injustice, but you can do it in a way where you respect God and you respect people, that you have a fear of God in your life, that you don't curse the deaf just because they can't hear, that you don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind just because they can't see it, but that you treat people with respect and you help them. If people would do that, man, what a different world it would be. And it says that it would be well with us and with our children. So I've just, these first few days, I've taught on the fear of the Lord as being a positive thing, talking about honor, respect, trust, reverence, love, all of these things. And we're going to continue to make some applications that I think will really help you. I encourage you to listen to our announcer. Today's going to be the last day to give you this first teaching in our 5-part set on the fear of God.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
Andrew's complete teaching titled "The Fear of the Lord" was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled, What is the Fear of the Lord, free of charge? We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 19th through the 21st. In Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 9th through the 11th, and in Humble, Texas on Sunday, February 12th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 14th through the 16th, in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 29th through the 31st, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Are you a world changer? Charis Bible College has extension schools across America. The same truth that sets you free at our main campus in Colorado Springs will set you free in Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dyer, Indiana, Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Jacksonville, Florida, and Gardner, Massachusetts. Log on to charisbiblecollege.org today or call our phone center and ask for a complete listing of CBC Extension School locations near you. Change your life. Change the world.
I want to make you aware that we now have our ministry, our Bible College ministry, available on online Bible school. And what this does, it allows you to go at your pace, take as many courses as you want, but you're still in a structured class situation where you have interaction with other students as well as a facilitator. It helps discipline you, but you can go at your own pace anywhere in the world. We have a web address on the screen, and I encourage you to go check out our online Bible school today.